Hey everyone, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com, and welcome to another edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast. Got a couple of great subjects to go over today, so gonna jump right into it. So the first thing I want to talk about are ways to make an exercise harder without necessarily adding weight or reps. And there's a couple reasons that you would want to know how to do this. The first is if you train at home. And so if you have a limited amount of weight available to you, you will eventually run into either needing to buy more weight or, again, finding some way to make an exercise harder without adding more reps or weight. So again, if you have an exercise program that's telling you to do, you know, two sets of eight reps with an exercise, and you have a weight that you can, you know, easily get that eight reps with, well, what do? Do you just, you know, do eight easy reps, or do you add more reps to it? And so usually neither one of those is the best way to do it. You want to try to find some way to make those eight reps that the program is calling for as difficult as, you know, or to make them hard so that you can get a training effect from them. And so, again, knowing some of these tricks, some of the things that you can do to do that is really helpful. Another reason that this is helpful is if you are coming back from an injury. So again, being able to train and maintain a good amount of intensity with your training program without necessarily using a lot of weight on a joint that's coming back from an injury or something like that is again really helpful to know how to do. And also just knowing, you know, the more body awareness you have, a lot of these things, you know, I'm going to talk about are going to help you develop better body awareness. And so, you know, the more body awareness you have, the better. So, you know, the point of training isn't always to add more weight. You know, remember that strength is not a direct cause of increased performance. We know a lot of people who are strong in the gym, but they can't perform well in their sport. And the reason for that is that they are the strength is not the point. Strength should be a symptom of how you move. And so if the way that you move allows you to move a lot of weight in the gym but isn't necessarily how you want to move on your bike or in your sport, then it's not going to transfer over as well. And so for us as athletes and mountain bikers, we need to be looking at that movement quality as our primary thing that we're trying to train, not necessarily adding more weight. And we add more weight when our movement quality and tension control and all of these things has improved. And so again, it's being able to kind of balance those things that allows you to progress over the long term. So again, you can only add weight for so long. I mean, there's only, you know, there's a very small handful of extremely strong people out there. And if everyone was able to just continually add weight forever, there'd be a lot of them. So that's not exactly how it works. But now, so what are these techniques? Let me go ahead and get to them and stop rambling on here. And so the first one that I have here is to use slower rep speeds and to slow down your reps. And so basically like tempo training would kind of fall into this category where you actually look at how fast each portion of the rep is. And each a rep has, you know, kind of depending upon how you want to look at it and how complicated you want to make it, anywhere from 3 to 4 parts. You know, you have the lowering part, you have the pause or time between the lowering and raising, and then you have the raising portion of the rep. And then if you want to get complicated, you can look at that pause at the top as well. But generally, I like to just use like a 3 number system in order to, you know, the first number is how slow to lower the weight, the second number is how long you want to pause, and then the third number is how fast you want to raise the weight. And by playing with those things, you can definitely increase how hard a rep is. So for example, if you're just using like a 1-0-1 tempo, which is pretty much the average tempo for most people, it means coming down real fast, no pause at the bottom, and then coming back up. So if you're doing that and you're getting 8 reps and that isn't too hard for you, then if you added in the tempo and say we started to slow things down, so say we did something like a 3-1-1, so you had to lower yourself down to a count of 3, pause for a full second at the bottom, and then push yourself back up to the top. That is much harder to do. And you know, you're starting to play around with basically the elastic energy. The faster you move, the more elastic energy you're able to take advantage of in the muscles. And so by slowing things down, you take out that elastic energy component. And for us as mountain bikers, that's really important because a lot of what we do on the bike, we don't have the luxury of being able to kind of, you know, pre-stretch the muscle and be able to take advantage of that elastic effect. So think about, like, you know, trying to grind a hard gear. You come out of a corner and you scrubbed, you know, blew a little too much speed and you're in a hard gear, and now you got to like start cranking that gear and turning it over. You know, you have no momentum. You don't have any elastic energy really to use to do that. And so by slowing the rep down, and that'll actually, you know, help you out on the trail. So again, look at the speed that you're using with your reps. And so the slower rep speeds will make it harder with a lower amount of weight. The second thing that you can do is to decrease your leverage. And this also kind of gets into understanding exercise variations and doing the same but different. So for example, if you look at a push-up, you have a push-up on one end of the spectrum, which is like the easiest variation. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have a single-arm push-up. And a single-arm push-up is extremely hard. Very few people can, you know, do more than, you know, 5 to 6 reps with a single-arm push-up with good form. But a lot of people can do a regular push-up for 5 to 6 reps with good form. And so there's a lot of variations between a regular push-up and a single-arm push-up. And what's the difference? Well, with the double-arm push-up, you have better leverage. With a single-arm push-up, you have less leverage. So a single-leg squat compared to a double-leg squat. And so understanding some of those leverage progressions will really help. So, you know, again, for example, with a single-arm push-up, knowing how to go from a double, a regular push-up to using things like lever push-ups and, uneven push-ups and stuff like that, that will help, each one of those decreases the leverage a little bit on the way to doing a single arm push-up. So again, like for a single leg squat, you know, starting with a double leg squat and then moving to a stagger stance squat and then a Bulgarian split squat and then working towards an assisted single leg squat. So again, you can either look at that as like different exercises or understanding how to play with leverages and understanding that, you know, okay, if this exercise program is saying that I need to, you know, do a squat for 8 reps and I don't have enough weight for that to happen, is there something that I can do that will let me decrease my leverage so that I can make 8 reps within that squat pattern more difficult? And so, again, that's, you know, maybe a little more complicated way to do it, but that means that you have to understand exercise variations and how those progressions work, which again is not something that's really well understood. A lot of people just kind of randomly throw a dart at a list of exercises and wherever it lands, that's the exercise they're going to do that day, without necessarily understanding how they're progress from one movement to another. So, but anyways, so besides that, the last one that I have is to improve your focus and tension. And this is something I've actually written an article about, called the internal versus external intensity continuum, you know, real big words there. But what that's basically saying is, where is the hard in your exercise coming from? And is it coming from inside you? Or are you focusing on your posture, on your breathing, on the tension that you're holding in producing more tension than you necessarily need? So again, remember, like, one of the reasons that you grab a heavier weight is because you're hoping that the muscles are going to reflexively produce more tension in response to that weight. But if you can consciously produce that extra tension, well, you're kind of accomplishing the same thing. Again, it's tension that you're after. Extra weight forces your body to produce more tension. But if you can mentally produce that extra tension yourself, then you're getting a similar training effect. So the idea of working on improving your focus and your tension management while you're training versus always just trying to increase the load will really change your mindset towards, you know, training in general. But again, will help you understand how you can not necessarily increase the weight, but still increase your strength. And you can definitely do that if you understand, how to just hunt down where your, you know, posture breakdowns, breathing breakdowns, you know, technique breakdowns. Like, you just have to really, really, really go over everything. And again, that's where the body awareness comes in, because if you don't have good body awareness, it's tough to go through how you're performing these exercises with a fine tooth comb. If your training is always just kind of this brainless, like, go in, turn my brain off, bang out my reps and be done, then this, you know, you're not going to be able to take advantage of this, and you're also not getting as much as you could out of training. So again, adding weight, a lot of times I actually have people, you know, using what seems like, you know, relatively light weights, especially in the beginning, because I want you to work on that internal side of the intensity thing. You don't want to be relying on something outside of you, like the weight and the reps, to tell you how hard to work. You want to be able to have command of your muscles and tell them how hard to work. So if you're practicing those tension lessons with a lighter amount of weight, in powerlifting, they have a saying, if you make your light weights feel heavy, your heavy weights will feel light. And this is exactly what they mean, that if you practice the focus and tension skills with lighter weights that you need to handle heavier weights, when it comes time to handle heavier weights and work harder, it'll be easier to do. So this is how you become and stay strong without necessarily being on that ragged edge of your strength all the time. It's by practicing those lessons as your training that allows you to use it when you need it. You don't always have to be right on that edge all the time. So again, so there you go. Those are three ways that you can increase the intensity of an exercise without necessarily adding more weight or relying on just, you know, continually increasing the reps as well. Because remember that reps have a very specific function as far as like more reps, like 12 reps has a different metabolic effect on the body than 5 reps does. And so if you change the recipe of the program, if it's calling for 2 sets of 5 and you just decide that you're going to do 2 sets of 15 because, you know, that's where you feel it, is you start to feel it at 15 reps. Well, you've changed the recipe. You're not going to get the same results from 2 sets of 15 that you get from 2 sets of 5 in a program. Hopefully, whoever you're following the program from had a specific reason that they were telling you to do 2 sets of 5 instead of 2 sets of 15. And if you change that, then again, you're going to change the recipe. You're going to change the results. So again, understand how to stay within those rep ranges and get the most out of them is a really valuable skill for you to have. So anyways, moving on to the next subject that I wanted to touch on real quick, and that is the best way to improve hill climbing. I get a lot of questions about this, especially on my Facebook Q&A sessions that I have on Tuesday afternoons. Seems like almost every week I get someone asking me a question about the best way to improve hill climbing. And, you know, honestly, the best way to improve your hill climbing is to one, you want to get stronger. Like the problem with hill climbing is that hill climbing requires more tension, and it's that increased tension demand that people are feeling and is making them tired. You know, they're thinking their cardio is out because they're breathing hard and they're tired and they need to work on their cardio. When the reality is that your ability to produce and sustain that extra tension is not good, and it's taxing, it's overtaxing you, and so it's making everything else feel hard. And so you need to, one, make sure that you're strong, because you, again, remember what I was talking about earlier, that strength is not the goal of training, that strength should be a symptom of your tension management, how you move. And so if you're, you know, with your strength training, that's what you're practicing. So, you know, as you're able to more easily produce tension and sustain tension, you're going to find that hill climbing is not going to be as hard. You also need to make sure that you've got the mobility that you need to get into the good positions that you need for hill climbing. Remember, you know, posture and breathing are all about your efficiency. And so, you know, extra power is great, but if you have extra power and you're out there with bad posture and bad breathing and all of that, then you're just making things harder on yourself than they have to be. And so a lot of that boils down to mobility. If you don't have the mobility to get your posture in the proper position, then you're not going to be able to use your maximum lung capacity, and you're going to be working very inefficiently. You're just going to be burning a lot of energy that you don't necessarily need to. So making sure you're strong, making sure that you're mobile. And then finally, standing pedaling is definitely one of the best ways to attack hill climbing. And so working on your standing pedaling when you're out riding. So get out of the saddle. It goes back to one of my big messages to mountain bikers everywhere, is that mountain biking gets a lot more fun when you stand up. And standing up is not hard. It's just hard when you don't have the strength and the mobility and the time practicing it for it to not be hard. And so, you know, remember, as your physical reality, how you look at things is shaped by your, again, your physical reality, your body knows that you don't have the leg strength, the core strength, and the mobility. And then, so when you think about standing up to climb, you know, to do hill climbing, it sounds impossibly hard, but again, it's not. As you improve these other things, then you'll find that this will get easier as well. So, again, that's, you know, that's pretty much it. I mean, I think one of the problems is that people are trying to figure out, how do I continue to apply this seated high RPM spinning mentality to the trail, and it just doesn't work. And it's evidenced by how many people don't ride and like they want to ride. And again, 9 times out of 10, it stems from trying to apply this road riding mentality to the trail, and you can't do that. So, you know, work on your strength, work on your mobility, get out of the saddle, stand up more, and apply those things to your hill climbing, and you're going to find that hill climbing is going to get a lot easier. So remember, the, you know, hill climbing is about tension. You're hitting the hill, and the extra tension is what you're feeling. And so, you know, being able to produce that higher level of tension and then recover when presented with the chance, and then repeat that over and over during the course of a ride, that's mountain biking. It's not a sustained energy output. You know, it's impossible to do that on the trail. You can't apply that mindset there. So you have to work on that ability to push hard when you have to, recover when presented with the chance, and then repeat that. And so strength training, interval training, mobility training, all those things will help you with that. So anyways, hope that that answers some questions about hill climbing there. But and remember too that I do have a 30-day standing pedaling program, which isn't necessarily, you know, specific for hill climbing, but it does actually improve your ability to stand up and climb. So it is a kind of a hill climbing product there. But yeah, 30-day program, you know, gives you the strength training stuff, the mobility stuff that you need to improve those basic, you know, your basic athleticism, basically the strength and mobility that you need to be able to apply the proper body position and work as efficiently as you can on the bike when you stand up to pedal. And again, that will change how you view that. So anyways, so that's going to do it for this edition of the MTB Strength Coach Podcast. Hope you've enjoyed it. Definitely had fun doing it. Again, I get a lot of these questions, ideas for these questions, from the questions I get on my Tuesday afternoon Facebook Q&A thing. So if you're not a fan of MTB Strength Training Systems on Facebook, be sure to go there. Click the like on Tuesday afternoons, I think around 12 o'clock Mountain Standard Time. I have an open Q&A. It's open for a couple of hours, so you can go there, post your question, and then I will come and answer it at some point during the day. So there you go. So once again, it's been James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems. You can check me out on the web at bikejames.com. You got any questions or comments about this blog or this podcast, you can post them there on the blog post, and I'll get to it as soon as I can. So once again, have a nice day, and I'll talk to you next time.